Hello out there to all my friends and listeners. This is episode 2 of Singing Mindfully. First off, I want to apologize for the long delay between episodes 1 and 2. I had a personal emergency I had to take care of, but that has been taken care of, and I'm back and ready to jump right in with this second episode. For those of you who listened to the first episode, you'll remember that I spoke a lot about what I call the cool breath. I'm going to dive a little deeper into that sensation, into that idea, along with the concept of opening the throat, which that helps quite a bit with. I'll also talk about the tongue position, or the tip of the tongue position, as it refers to with vowel sounds. Oftentimes when I'm not singing well and I'm kind of stumped, I'll realize that what I'm doing is I'm not placing my tongue in the correct position. I'm pulling it back. I'm not placing it correctly for the correct vowels that I'm trying to produce. Makes a world of difference when I discover that and I correct it. So I'm going to talk about that today as well. But like the first episode, I'm going to dive into some mindfulness meditation to start things off, to get us in the right frame of mind, if you'll pardon the pun. Again, breathing exercises I think are the best for this particular practice. So when we're ready, let's start right in. Let's dive right in. I think, again, a seated position is perfectly fine as long as your spine is straight and erect. A high-backed chair works best. You can sit on the ground as long as you're sitting up straight. And I'm going to walk you through, again, a relatively short 10-count breath meditation. Don't want to take up too much time just in this, because obviously this is something that you can do on your own very easily, and I highly recommend that you do on a daily basis. Whether you're practicing singing or not, this is a fantastic way of calming the mind. So when you're ready, let's dive right in. With your eyes still open, let's take a nice deep breath down into the lower back. You'll feel it expand your lower back. Through the nose is just fine. Hold it for just a moment without closing the throat, and then exhale. Let's do it one more time. And exhale. Exhale through your mouth. So you're inhaling through your nose, exhaling through your mouth. One more time. Feel that expansion. Hold that expansion for a couple seconds. And then exhale out. And when you're ready, slowly, gently close your eyes. And at this point, return your breath to normal. If it's slightly shallow, let it be shallow. If it's deep, let it be deep. We're not trying to control the breath here. So, through your nose, gently with your eyes closed, and focusing on the breath, focus on the inhale. You're going to inhale. For a count of 4, you're going to hold for 4, then you're going to exhale for 4. It's a little different than the first episode, and I'll count them all out for you. I won't necessarily do them along with you, but I will count 4, 4, and 4. So you're inhaling through your nose. You're going to hold, not with your throat, but with your lower abdominals. You're going to hold your throat open for 4. And then you're going to exhale the whole time. The purpose of all of this, we're going to count to 10 doing this. The purpose of all of this is to just focus on the action of the breath. Think about the breath. Feel the breath. If your mind starts to wander, which it will, let it wander. And then gently, gently bring it back to the breath. Don't get aggravated. Don't get rigid. It's like clouds passing through the sky. You're going to think about things, and that's perfectly normal. But right now, we're focusing on concentration. So here we go. We're going to inhale for four, hold for four, exhale deeply and fully for four. So here we go. Inhale, one, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, and exhale, two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, and exhale, two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, and exhale, two, three, four. Last one. Inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, and exhale, two, three, and four. Now return your breath to a normal pattern of breathing, keeping your eyes closed. I hope you were able to focus primarily up to 10. If you weren't, that's perfectly normal and perfectly natural. Don't be hard on yourself. If you've been sitting on the floor, maybe wiggle your fingers and toes to get some blood flowing again. And when you're ready, slowly open your eyes. Ideally, at this point, you should feel refreshed is a good word. If you've been suffering with anxiety or panic, you may not feel perfectly calm and relaxed, but it should have helped to some degree. It certainly will help with your singing and with your practicing of singing, with that kind of concentration. This is essentially what we're trying to build up. We're trying to build up your mind's ability to concentrate. This is concentrating on the breath, but as I've mentioned before, when you sing, your mind is locked into concentrating, which is why I consider singing, the act of singing, whether it's performing or practicing, the act of singing is an act of meditation, which is why these two things go together. Okay, let's delve a little into vocal technique again. I'll remind everybody about the cool breath, the cool spot, all the different names that it is referenced by. when one is inhaling deeply and you're inhaling into your back lower ribs, your back area, you're not concentrating necessarily on pushing and putting the voice, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that, putting the breath into the lower back. But if you just allow expansion and inhale, you will feel your lower ribs, your lower back ribs, I should say, and your lower back, sometimes very low into the coccyx bone sometimes, you'll feel it expand. That's what you want. By doing that, you're keeping tension away from your throat. You are actively opening the larynx and the pharynx by doing that. Then, of course, the trick is, how do we keep the throat open while we phonate? A lot of people will breathe wonderfully and deeply and relaxed, and then when they start singing, everything closes up. Doesn't necessarily feel like it closes up, but they'll put everything in the nose. They'll start singing from the larynx. They'll start to press high up into the chest. All of those things create this tension. And the voice, to the singer, may sound very focused and very bright. But that's to the singer. Usually to the audience, to the extra person in the room, it sounds pinched, it sounds thin, it sounds tight. And you'll especially notice it as you try to go up the scale and you start reaching that all-important passaggio area. And you'll notice that to get over the passaggio, to get into the head voice, to get into the higher notes, you have to make a dramatic shift. You have to hook. You have to go up and over, whatever the expression is. That's not ideal. You hear professional singers do it. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing to do. Ideally, your vowel should not consciously need to be modified. I know this goes against so many teachers and so many wonderful pedagogues out there that talk about vowel modification and how when the ah vowel gets to a certain point, you have to change it with your mouth position into an vowel or an vowel even. Personally, I don't believe in that. Now, does that happen? To some extent, yes, it does. But it happens naturally. You're not trying to adjust the vowel. That's when people get into trouble. They start singing an E vowel, and suddenly they get up towards the passaggio, and they start consciously opening their mouth to E, 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 and before you know it, you can't understand the singer, first of all, and it causes issues with overtones and phonation. You're over-modifying the vowel almost every single time. Now, this over-modification tends to happen more in heavier voices, but it doesn't have to. I don't believe there's anything inherent about a larger, heavier voice that requires you to modify through the passaggio more so than a lighter, thinner, I shouldn't say thinner, that's not a good word, a lighter voice. It may be more difficult to keep that pure vowel, but that doesn't mean that that's not something that we should all strive towards. How do we do that, is the question, of course. Well, in my humble opinion, it comes from a few different things. First is relaxation. And when I say relaxation, I'm just talking about from the area of the larynx up and to the top of the head. I'm not talking about your chest or your abdominal muscles or your lower coccyx bone or your lower back and ribs. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the relaxation of your jaw, your tongue, the larynx, the neck muscles, which there are many and should never be tensed and tightened. And I think you'll be surprised to notice if you check them out as you sing and as you sing higher up into the voice, or you start to feel like you're running out of breath, gently feel your neck, the sides of your neck, like you were taking your pulse. On the sides of the neck, those muscles, those tendons get super tight, or can get super tight. That tightness translates right to the larynx, and now you're pushing. Now you're pushing. You can get away with that for a while, but it's tiring out the voice. In an ideal world, you should be able to sing for hours on end and not get tired, not get sore, not have to take 3 days of rest to get your voice back. That's a sign that something's going wrong. I think everybody wants the big dramatic voice, even if you don't naturally have it. And I think that's where a lot of this problem has come from, is over the years, I'd say maybe in the last 20 or 30 years, people are getting pushed, again, no pun intended, to sing larger and larger roles beyond what their natural abilities are at the time. Maybe this is controversial, but I know of many a tenor who's still in their early to mid-20s who are singing relatively heavy roles, and I worry for them. I worry that in 10 or 20 years, where do you go from there? Your voice is just going to get darker and darker and darker because you have to push to get over the orchestra, which doesn't work, but you're caught in a bad situation at that point. And it's because people don't want to say no. Someone may have a naturally warm voice and they're young, and a director will say, hey, I want to hire you to sing some mid-sized Verdi role or some relatively heavy Puccini role. And it's almost impossible for a young singer to decline that and say no. I highly recommend they do say no. And I think if they were with a good teacher, the teacher would say, don't take this job. But I'm getting off the track a little bit. But you understand where I'm coming from. I was told personally when I was young and singing to stay as light as possible within your own voice. Don't try to sing Monteverdi if you're naturally a Donizetti, lyric, light, Puccini kind of tenor. That's just as bad on your voice. But one, I think, should always sing Mozart. You've probably heard that before from teachers and from pedagogues, is if you're always, keep Mozart in your repertoire. It's great for the voice, and it's a great marker to tell whether you are singing correctly or not. If you can't get through a Mozart aria because of the tessitura, or you just feel exhausted at the end of it, there's something going on. So anyways, back to what I was talking about. Keeping the voice open. It starts with the relaxation in the jaw and the tongue and under the chin. I've had teachers that give me a good 10 minutes where they ask me to massage those jaw muscles under the ear with your thumbs. You can massage your tongue under your chin. Rub your face like this so you're really relaxed. And things are not naturally tight. You shouldn't have to do that for very long because the concentration, the focus that you're going to learn and that you will learn through the mindfulness meditation, you'll be thinking of other things. You'll be focusing on other things. You won't have time to tighten up and to stress out the muscles in your face. That's not going to be your focus. So hopefully those muscles will naturally relax and release, which is exactly what you want. This brings me back to the cool spot, the cool breath. I think I called it the cool spot. I apologize if I've been calling it the cool breath. It's kind of the same thing. If you take a nice, deep, open inhalation with your mouth gently closed through your nose, you're going to feel the air hit the back of your throat. It's kind of where your where the pharyngeal muscles are, back in the pharynx, behind your soft palate. I made an audible sigh just to show the point that sometimes that's helpful to actually do that. I think inhalations should be silent when one is singing. You get more air that way. The air tends to go in the right direction that way. But if you're practicing, sometimes make a sighing inhale through your nose, and you will feel this spot. I feel it right behind my soft palate. And what I was told by a fantastic teacher was, that's the spot, that little cool area that you just felt, that's the spot that you're envisioning you are singing from when you exhale and you begin to phonate. That's the spot. Because by inhaling like that, you've just opened your throat. And if you can keep that sensation, keep that cool spot, and I'll explain really quickly in a minute how to do that, your voice will be open. And as you go up and down the scale, the voice should be able to stay open if you are singing the correct vowels and you have the correct tongue position and you're supporting the breath underneath you the correct way. It's not simple. I was going to say it's as simple as that, but it is not a simple process. It's all about coordination, muscle memory, and concentration. I'd rather have somebody practice for 10 minutes in focused concentration, learning a lot, than 45 minutes of just scales, singing, just random, see how high your voice can go. You're not learning anything that way. So, how do we keep the voice open? Well, what you're going to do is you are going to exhale in the position of the inhalation. I'll say it again. So when you exhale, you're making a sound, I should say. I'll stop using the word exhalation because I think that represents to a lot of people pushing out the breath, which is not what you're doing. That's not what you want to do. You are keeping that sensation of inhalation, that open feeling in the chest and in the lower back, as you've inhaled, and then as you start to phonate, keep that position, keep that feel. There's a great German expression, trinken die Luft, drink the air. There are a million different expressions that call into this same sensation, but that's essentially what you're doing. It's as if you are inhaling while you are singing. Sounds impossible, but believe it or not, it works. If you are not literally inhaling while you're singing, that's impossible. But you're keeping the air from escaping for a variety of different reasons. If you can keep the air from escaping while you're phonating, you're keeping the throat open. You're allowing yourself to sing very long phrases because you are using very little air. And then it's just a matter of getting used to the feeling of, I don't want to say holding your breath, but you're not expelling that air as fast as you normally would. And that sometimes has a physiological sensation in the body of panic that you will eventually get over. And you will be able to sing longer and longer phrases. And then when the phrase is over, you let out that stale air, what's left. That's very important. Because if you don't, and then you keep on inhaling, you're going to tank up and you're going to have way too much air in your lungs. And that causes tension as well. So I know it's very difficult. This is one of the tricky things with this podcast is I'm not in front of you working with you directly. So it's hard. But I'm hoping that I'm explaining it in a clear enough way. So if you take a breath that's nice and deep and you feel that cool spot, and when you start to phonate, you are not expelling the air. you're thinking almost backwards. Take your hands, both hands, out in front of you. And you are going to, let's see, how would I describe this? You're going to create circles. And they're circles that move backwards towards you. So your right hand, technically, if you look at it from the side, is running clockwise. Your left hand is counterclockwise. You're going in to yourself. And actually physically do that as you start to sing. It will give you that impression of, no air is escaping when I'm doing that. Michael Tremble, who is still alive, he's in his 80s, he's still teaching, phenomenal, phenomenal teacher. You can find him on YouTube, and I highly recommend him. He will use, as an example, constantly a tissue. He takes a Kleenex, and he puts it in front of his mouth when he sings, and it doesn't move. It looks kind of like magic, but that's the idea. And that's a great test. They used to, way back in the day, they did it with a candle flame. They'd lit a candle in front of the singer, and the singer would sing, and the idea was not to move the flame, not let it flicker. So this has been a process and a teaching technique that's been handed down for hundreds of years. This is not something new that I made up the other day or is some radical idea. However, a lot of teachers don't focus on that. They talk about letting out the air, more air. I had so many teachers that would just say, breathe, you know, more air, put more air into the sound. And as a young singer, I thought that meant expelling out the air. And I did, and I'd run out of breath, and I'd create tension in my throat. And unfortunately, I just think that's the mark of a bad teacher. I mean, he or she could see immediately that that wasn't working, and I really would hope that that is not that teacher's real technique and idea. But you do hear a lot of breathy singers out there who are expelling air as they're singing. It's not healthy for the voice, and it's not keeping the voice open. So many singers do not sing with an open voice anymore, open throat. Anyways, I'm about to run out of time, and I haven't even gotten to the tip of the tongue, and I may have to wait till episode 3 for this, because I don't want to just throw that away. But, so, that's kind of the idea. I apologize, I haven't warmed up, so I'm not going to do a lot of examples, but you are inhaling. You feel that cool spot, and when you let the air out, or when you phonate, you're thinking back, I'm pushing my hands towards my mouth. I'm just trying to get that sensation. If you put a tissue in front of my mouth, it would not move. Throughout the entire range of your voice, really, it should be like that. It's easier to keep the tissue from moving when you're higher up because your vocal cords naturally are stretching and less air is getting through. It's when you're down into the lower part of your voice, pre-passaggio, down in the middle, that it's vital that you continue to do that and you don't just let it be breathy and singing like that. So there you go. I have a couple minutes left. I'm going to try to discuss the tip of the tongue really briefly. It's a really quick, I will discuss it in greater detail in episode 3, but just to give you an idea of where your tongue position is, because tongue position is almost everything. I say that all the time. Let me rephrase that. It's not everything is almost everything. You understand. It's very important. So many singers, and you'll see them, you can just look in their mouth, they push their tongue back, the tip of their tongue is touching practically their hard palate. It's curled up. Nope. Shouldn't be like that. I don't care if they're famous singers. They've learned to sing like that. Good for them. They're making lots of money. That's fantastic. That's not ideal. That's a tense tongue. When you do that, the root of your tongue, and guess where your root of your tongue is? It's right over, it goes right past your larynx. It tenses up. If the root, the ball of your tongue is tense, It's pressing on your larynx, and your larynx is going to get tight, and then you're just fighting. You're fighting to sing, and it should never be that difficult. So, fairly briefly, this is what I've been taught. When you sing a pure E vowel, an U vowel, or a French E, kind of a Y vowel, the tip of your tongue should be right behind and touching your lower front teeth. Not the gum line, not over your teeth, but gently against your lower front teeth. E, U, and E. E, 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 E. Those more open vowels, the tongue moves down and the tip of the tongue is right between your teeth and your gum line. It's right in there. It's a little bit lower. And then ah, ah, oh, ah, ah, oh, base of the gums. That's the tricky part. Most people don't Most people don't put their tongue low enough when they're singing. That's a natural position for an ah vowel and an open throat. Ah, ah, base of the tongue. When you do that, when you keep the tip of your tongue either on the base of the gums, the border between the teeth and the gum line, or touching your lower front teeth, guess what? Brings the tongue forward, keeps the ball of the big mass of your tongue away from your larynx, away from closing off your larynx and the pharynx. That allows you to continue to have an open throat. If you start to sing, and you're going to notice, especially in E vowels, people like to E, and all of a sudden, all it takes is like an inch or two, your tongue moves back away from your teeth, and you're dead in the water. I sang like that for years with my tongue never touching my teeth or my gums. I kind of experimented on my own, and then I was lucky enough to get together with some wonderful pedagogues who really enforced that, and it was just like opening up a great book. Suddenly everything was like, oh, that all kind of makes sense. And my voice became clear. It made all the difference in the world. So I will spend a lot more time in the third episode about this, and I'll give you some examples once I've warmed up. I apologize again. It's been a rough couple weeks. You will notice a huge difference. So again, inhale, cool spot, sing from the cool spot, sing in a position of inhalation, sing vowels with your tongue, with the tip of your tongue against your teeth or your gums, not pushing, not driving it forward, because that will just cause tongue tension as well, but just touching that area. Try to keep it from pulling back. Try to keep your tongue from pulling back away from your teeth. It'll be tricky at first, but I promise you, it makes all the difference. Keep things open. Don't spread. And I think you'll be in good shape. So, yeah, we're basically at the end here. I apologize. I did ramble on quite a bit, but I hope that some of my rambling imparted a little bit of knowledge to you today. Again, not 100% sure what's going to go into the third episode. It will happen more quickly than the second episode, I promise you. But probably some more reinforcement about cool spot, open throat, tip of the tongue, tongue position, singing in a position of inhalation. These are all classic old school techniques and ideas. This is nothing new. So don't be afraid that I'm imparting some radical, new, bizarre technique on you. This is old school stuff, which I think is the best, because it's been tested for a very, very hundreds and hundreds of years. This has been tested. So, I wish you well in your studies. I will talk to you very soon. I appreciate you listening. If you feel compelled to donate, that would be much appreciated. Please subscribe so you'll be informed of the next episode. And again, please stay safe and continue to sing mindfully.